Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group. Yes, and a very good morning to everyone. Today's program, we have a message from Maitreya, which was written, or rather dictated, in 2005. And then we'll move on to something from around the world. So this one is called Maitreya's Task, and it's by the Master through Benjamin Krem. It is becoming ever clearer that the momentum of change is growing steadily throughout the world. Event follows so quickly on event that few can discern the logic of the sequence by which the new supplants the old. We, your elder brothers, recognize the inevitability of this process and watch it with satisfaction, knowing as we do that all is moving towards the more perfect expression of the plan. For men, however, this is a time of testing and trouble as they seek to understand and cope with the effects of their own actions. The logic of happenings escapes them and makes them doubt the divinity in which they place their trust. Thus, for men, has it always been, as they struggle blindly to enforce their will or to escape the consequence of their own endeavours. As we move from age to age, such periods of tension and indecision are repeated again and again, and each new age brings into the world new and unfamiliar forces which gradually impose themselves on men and invoke response. And thus it is today, as men search dimly for the new direction which the new age energies demand of them. Some there are who sense the way and seek to educate their brothers in the required action. Many, though, are afraid of change and see only an impending chaos and breakdown if radicals, in inverted commas, have their way. Into this divided world has come the Christ. His is the task to reconcile these disparate groups and to bring order out of the present confusion and tumult. That his is not an easy task should be apparent to all. That the gulf between the groups is vast and entrenched is equally clear. So how then must he work to bridge the chasm between the old and the fearful and the burgeoning new? And how, too, can he counter the deep materialism which is the hallmark of the present time? How to deal with the intolerance of religious groups and help them to experience unity? Presenting himself as a man among men, Maitreya will make no claims and demand no allegiance. Simple and direct will be his approach, moderate and calm his manner. His clarity of mind will arrest attention. His wisdom overcome men's fears. His sincerity of utterance will melt men's hearts and remove the burden of hate and greed. Thus will men experience a new appearance of divinity, and one which includes them in its manifestation, which sees no distance or separation. As the embodiment and agent of cosmic power and love, Maitreya will open the hearts of all who can respond, and turning men from fear and division of the past, ready them for the glory of the future. So as I said, that article was written in 2005 by the master who works through Benjamin Krem. And it's interesting to see how articles which were written over 10 years ago can be so pertinent to current situations. Now, we'll move on. I've got a UN report here which I'd like to bring to your attention, which is about rising inequality affecting more than 70% of the globe now. It's from New York. Inequality is growing for more than 70% of the global population, which exacerbates the risks of divisions and is hampering economic and social development. But the rise is far from inevitable and can be tackled and must be tackled at a national and international level, says a flagship study which was released on the 21st of January 2020. It's the World Social Report, which is published by the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, the UN. Inequality has increased in most developed countries and some middle-income countries, including China, which has the world's fastest-growing economy. That doesn't take into account what's happened over the last 6 weeks or so, so that'll be very interesting. The challenges are underscored by UN Chief Antonio Guterres in the foreword of the document, in which he states that the world is confronting the harsh realities of a deeply unequal global landscape. Economic woes, inequalities, and job security have led to mass protests in many countries. Income disparities and a lack of opportunities, he writes, are creating a vicious cycle of inequality, frustration, and discontent across generations. The study shows the richest 1% of the population are the big winners in the changing global economy, and they have increased their share of income between 1990 and 2015. At the other end of the scale, the bottom 40% earned less than a quarter of income in all the countries surveyed. It doesn't say which countries were surveyed. I imagine it would be reasonably substantial. One of the consequences of inequality within societies, notes the report, is a slower economic growth. In unequal societies with wide disparities in areas such as healthcare and education, people are more likely to remain trapped in poverty across several generations. Between countries, the difference in average incomes is reducing, with China and other Asian nations driving growth in the global economy. Nevertheless, there are still stark differences between the richest and poorest countries and regions. The average income in North America, for example, is 16 times higher than that of people in sub-Saharan Africa. And actually, that should be of no surprise to anyone. The report looks at the impact that four powerful global forces, or megatrends, are having on inequality around the world: technological innovation, climate change, urbanization, and international migration. Whilst technical innovation can support economic growth, offering new possibilities in fields such as healthcare, education, communication, and productivity, there is more evidence to show that it can also lead to increased wage inequality and it displaces workers. Rapid advances in areas such as biology and genetics, robotics and artificial intelligence are transforming societies at a pace. New technology has the potential to eliminate entire categories of jobs, but equally may generate entirely new jobs and innovations. For now, however, highly skilled workers are reaping the benefits of this so-called fourth industrial revolution, and low-skilled and middle-skilled workers engaged in routine manual and cognitive tasks are seeing opportunities shrink. As the UN report on the global economy showed, the climate crisis is having a negative impact on quality of life, and vulnerable populations are bearing the brunt of environmental degradation and extreme weather events. Climate change, according to the World Social Report, is making the world's poorest countries poorer and could reverse progress made in reducing inequality among countries. If action to tackle the climate crisis progresses as hoped, there would be job losses in carbon-intensive sectors such as the coal industry. But the greening of the global economy could result in overall net employment gains with the creation of many new jobs worldwide. For the first time in history, more people live in urban than rural areas, a trend that is expected to continue over the coming years. Now, that's interesting because a lot of people are talking about moving back to their roots, back to the farms and back to the rural areas because the opportunities have shrunk substantially over the last 6 months for employment in cities. Simply the jobs have dried up. We'll see what happens there. Although cities drive economic growth, they are more unequal than rural areas, with the extremely wealthy living alongside the very, very poor. The scale of inequality varies widely from city to city, even within a single country. As they grow and develop, some cities have become more unequal, whilst in others, inequality may have declined. The fourth megatrend, international migration, is described as both a powerful symbol of global inequality but a force for equality under the right conditions. Migration within countries, notes the report, tends to increase once countries begin to develop and industrialise, and more inhabitants of middle-income countries than low-income countries migrate abroad. So once they get a bit of money, they move out of the country for greener grasses, so to speak. International migration is seen generally as benefiting both migrants, their countries of origin, because money is then sent home, and the host countries where they end up working. In some cases where migrants compete in low-skilled work, wages may be pushed down, increasing inequality. But if they offer skills that are in short supply or take on work that others are not willing to do, then it has a positive effect on unemployment. Despite a clear widening of the gap between the haves and the have-nots worldwide, the report points out that this situation can be reversed. Although megatrends have the potential to continue divisions in society, they can also, as Antonio Guterres points out, be harnessed for a more equitable and sustainable world. It largely comes down to intent, doesn't it? Political intent and economic intent. Social intent. Both national governments and international organisations have a role to play in levelling the playing field and creating a fairer world for all. Reducing inequality should, says the report, play a central role in policy making. This means ensuring that the potential of new technology is used to reduce poverty and create jobs, that vulnerable people grow more resilient to the effects of climate change, that cities are more inclusive and migration takes place in a safe, orderly and regular manner. Three strategies for making countries more egalitarian are suggested in the report. The promotion of equal access to opportunities through, for example, universal access to education. Fiscal policies, which include measures for social policies, such as unemployment and disability benefits. And legislation that tackles prejudice and discrimination whilst promoting greater participation of disadvantaged groups. While action at a national level is crucial, the report declares that concerted, coordinated and multilateral action is needed to tackle major challenges affecting inequality within and among countries. The report's authors conclude that given the importance of international cooperation, multilateral institutions such as the UN should be strengthened, and action to create a fairer world must be urgently accelerated. The UN's 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, which provides the blueprint for a better future for people and the planet, recognises that major challenges require internationally coordinated solutions and contains concrete and specific targets to reduce inequality based on income. So this is largely what Maitreya is talking and the masters are talking about. They're saying that only international sharing is going to create justice. And the only way that we'll get trust in the world, which of course is desperately needed for any thought of peace. If there's no trust, there won't be peace. The only way to create that justice and trust is through international sharing, equality. Very interesting. The UN is on the right path. Once they kick out the corporations, Coca-Cola and Mobil, Exxon, Nike, all of those corporations which are currently holding it up, global corporations, they've hijacked the UN. We'll see a fairer representative council for the world, for all nations, all countries in the world. Finally, I would like to read a message from Maitreya. It was one of 144 that he gave, and this is message number 120, which was probably given somewhere around 1977, I think. My dear friends, I am with you once again, and with joy do I see the light of aspiration around you. This confirms for me my knowledge of your readiness to work for me. My heart gladdens at the sight of this inner truth shining from the chalice of your heart. Make way, my friends, for that truth in your lives and open before you the door to the future. My task is to illumine the path to that glorious future for mankind, to awaken in you the principle of love, to lead you forward in manifesting that love, each to the other, and thus draw all men to God. I am the Saviour returned. I am a man among men. I am hope embodied. I am the restorer of God's law. I am the means to knowing. I bring succor to all men. I love my brothers. I count all men as one. I teach the law of God. I combine two paths. I seek to serve the world. I love justice. I come in time. I redress the balance of the world. I commit myself to this task. I adore liberty. I sense the readiness of men. I leave naught to chance. I invoke the new. I remedy past ills. I transform the old. I touch your brow. I command a host of angels. I serve the plan of God. I embrace my brothers. Enter with me into the new dawn and make all things new. Reveal that which I am through you and do my work. Express that which you are and create a new world. Let my manifestation reveal yourselves as gods. May the divine light and love and power of the one most holy God be now manifest within your hearts and minds. May this manifestation clear from your eyes the mists of ignorance. And we'll finish there. That was a message from Maitreya, I think somewhere around 1977. And I'll just leave you with that until next week. Love and light, everybody.